about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
isn't
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And you don't have any idea why
because
we're doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
He's Bob Duke, and he's Art Markman.
And she's Rebecca McEnroy.
And this is Two Guys on Your Head.
Today, exploring laughter. What is laughter? What is the purpose of laughter?
Well, I don't think that question is settled quite. No.
Look, I mean, we make all of these kinds of communicative noises that aren't speech. And one of them is laughter. And laughter is a really strange one because it signals a whole host of different things. Part of the question is what elicits laughter? And part of it is what does it signify to other people?
And that's interesting in many ways, not the least of which is how much we are likely to laugh aloud when we're alone and when we're doing something with other people, right? I think many people have suggested one of the reasons that going to the theater or going to the movies, I mean, when you have, you know, a beautiful television at home and a beautiful sound system, why would you spend all the time and effort and money to go out to a movie theater to watch a movie?
Because you need somebody texting next.
Exactly. Right. Because how would I know what was no, because you want to be around other people to share the experience. And laughter is one way we communicate with each other by sharing experiences that we respond to in a particular way. And, you know, a lot of things that we find funny, we find funny because they set up an expectation that doesn't come to pass and something unexpected is likely to happen. I mean, great punchlines are like that. Great jokes are like that. And one of the things that's interesting about that, as far as our own perception of what's going on, is we get to enjoy the surprise, right? So it's a surprise that is not threatening. It's not in any way dangerous, at least in most cases. I mean, it's something where we actually enjoy being surprised for the same reason that people, you know, go on amusement park rides to be frightened.
There's also a bonding experience that goes with this.
Absolutely.
So there's a certain amount of comfort that you have to have with the people around you in order to be able to laugh. And then on top of that, there's a certain amount of shared experience that you have to have. So comedians, for example, will often repeat a punchline periodically through a show. Why do they do that? Well, if it was funny the first time, then presumably the surprise is over. But if you believe that you're sharing this wonderful experience with all the people around you, then even over a 20 or 30 minute period, you're sort of reminiscing with everybody about how great that was. Remember that thing I told you 20 minutes ago? You know, and so there's much more to it than just surprise, which is part of what has made humor so difficult to capture.
Mm-hmm. What about, though, what is the evolutionary benefit of laughing? You know, I feel like there is a physiological benefit of laughing that's similar to crying.
There's two separate pieces, right? I mean, I think that there's the question of this physiological response of laughter, right? So what is laughter itself doing for us? There's definitely one element of it, which is being able to find a way not just of experiencing surprise, as Bob said, but also of dealing with difficult situations by staring them in the face.
You know, the notion of that you mentioned earlier about, you know, the sort of cathartic feeling that comes from that for many people. Many people say, I feel exhausted. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're just sort of relaxed and all of your body just sort of lets go. Same experience happens after a good cry often, right? I mean, you have this intense emotional experience and then you're exhausted. And that exhaustion, maybe paradoxically, maybe that's the way it ought to be, is in fact relaxing. And and the idea that you've been through that intense emotion now is contrasted with this state of calm.
Right. I think, you know, one of the big things is that we get all this energy from things, right? So tension creates energy. And when you get all that energy, you have to release it somehow. Presumably you build up that energy in part because tense situations might require action. But at the point where it's clear they don't require action, you need a physiological way of getting rid of all that energy in a way that doesn't cause bodily harm to anyone.
Yeah. And I think one of the important things, Art, that you bring up in this is the deep connectedness between what we think and what our bodies are doing, right? I mean, we've said on many occasions and many times, the brain is part of the body. And so we don't just think with this separate
entity that's floating inside of us somewhere. I mean, all of this stuff is connected. And again, you know, you asked earlier, Rebecca, what would be the evolutionary advantage of having this particular thing? And I don't think anybody really can say with any confidence what that might be. But there are, you know, things about, as Art's mentioning, the buildup of expectations that then go places you anticipate, go places you don't anticipate. And that affects us in an emotional way, often for physical reasons.
One of the things that humans have is this remarkable ability to play around with our mental systems a little bit. So visual arts might try to create extreme beauty or extreme ugliness. Music might try to create auditory beauty or ugliness. And then you have, you know, humor and storytelling, each of which is trying to find ways to manipulate these aspects of the human experience in order to give people more extreme experiences than they would be able to have just through their daily lives. And then we relish this because it gives us an opportunity to experience the extremes that wouldn't normally occur in our environment.
Yeah. I mean, one of the remarkable things about us human beings is our imaginations. That's a remarkable thing about human beings. And I don't think that's present in any other primates, or is it, Art?
Well, it's hard for us to tell. It's hard for other primates to tell stories.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure,
I mean, so part of the issue is that one of the things that language does for us is it gives us this opportunity to control our thought process in a sequential way. Presumably, there isn't the same kind of elaborate storytelling ability just because of the absence of language. And I'd hesitate to think what stories my dogs are telling if they could.
Next week, you can hear Two Guys on Your Head during Morning Edition in the 7 o'clock hour, during Here and Now after 1, and with All Things Considered in the 4 o'clock hour. And the topic for next week? Influence. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys and find more information on any of the topics we've discussed, go to KUT.org. We're also on iTunes, and follow us on Twitter at @2GOYH. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas, and supported by OBGYN North and Natural Beginning Birth Center. For KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroy.